We want to believe that God has an assignment, that God has an agenda. As we pray tonight, something is going to happen and something is going to change in somebody's life, because God is going to do great and mighty things. He is always the God of wonder, the God of the supernatural, God of the miraculous. We just believe that God is going to do something great, because that is the kind of God that He is. We're expecting only our situations to change, only our circumstances to change, but we are believing that even we are going to be changed, even we are going to be transformed by the things that God is going to do. Sometimes it's being transformed by an action that God carries out. Sometimes it is being transformed by a rhema word that is spoken, that is going to be received in your heart, and that word is going to be a rallying point or a point of action in your life that is going to bring significant transformation and change in you. It is going to change the way you think. It is going to change the way you see things. It is going to change the way you understand things, because when God sends a word, and when God begins to do something, something is bound to change. And He says that He is working things together for our good. He is working to bring us to an expected end that He has defined, an expected end that He said, I know the plans that I have for you, not to do you any harm, but to bring you into that place. So God is doing things. He will speak a word. God will take an action. Sometimes God will just give you a glimpse of your future. God sometimes will give you a glimpse of your present reality, so that you are spurred into taking an action that is going to transform your life. Sometimes God will send a word just to push you above and beyond your fear, above and beyond your self-imposed limitations, so that you can go to places where you begin to act above and beyond your ability, because now you're walking and operating in the God kind of ability, which is in the dimension of faith, that you are going to be able to do things that you normally wouldn't do, because God has availed faith to you and the ability to believe and trust that your simple actions are going to bring significant change in your life. So, Father, as we pray tonight, we know that we are not coming in our own name. We are not coming in our own strength, but we are coming in the name that is above any other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come not, O God, by any other way, but the way that you've prescribed, the way that you've set for us to come. He said we must come boldly before the throne of grace. We come boldly, O God, not because we are good, not because we are righteous, but, O God, because there is blood that is on the mercy seat, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Father, we echo the words that were spoken the days of old. Hear our prayer, O God, tonight, and attend to our supplication. Father, I know that there are many needs that are going to be here, O God, tonight, even for those that are going to be listening in days to come. Father, we just declare your sufficiency. We declare that you are indeed El Shaddai. You are indeed Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are Jehovah Giba, Jehovah Mkadesh. God, among many things, God, you are able to supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We just declare that, God, anybody who needs healing, healing is available. Anybody who needs breakthrough, breakthrough is available. Anybody who needs transformation, transformative power is available in you. Anybody who needs to be shifted, there is shifting power in you, God. You are going to do great and mighty wonders on their behalf. And Father, I thank you that you are moving in their homes, you are moving in their businesses, you are moving in their churches, you are moving in their ministries, even in their hearts, God, you are moving, that you are going to be exalted above all other, because you are God. For that we thank you, for the prayers you have answered. We thank you for the things that you have intervened in. We thank you, God, for places you have brought them into. We thank you for the places you have taken them away from. We thank you for gates and doors that you have opened. We thank you for even for the ones that you have shut. We thank you, God, for granting them permission to enter in. And Father, even the places where you have not allowed them to enter into, we give you praise, we give you glory. Tonight, God, we just want to acknowledge that indeed the heavens are your throne and the earth is your footstool. You are God all by yourself. Nobody can hold you accountable, God, to yourself but yourself. Father, as you swore to Abraham when you couldn't find anybody else who could make a covenant hold you accountable to, you held yourself accountable to your word. We thank you, O God, that you are never changing. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word never falls to the ground. But your word will accomplish whatever you send it to accomplish, and your word will prosper. We thank you, O God, that tonight there is a pressing in our hearts and in our spirits from the place of desperation, from a place of need, God, that there are many things we are asking for you, O God, to do. But tonight we just want to make ourselves available first and foremost, O God, to meet the need that you have. Father, if you are looking for somebody to stand in the gap tonight, we make ourselves available. If you are looking for somebody to call upon your name, we make ourselves available. If you are looking for somebody to travel over a nation, over a people group, we make ourselves available. Your word says you are a spirit, O God, and you are looking for those who worship in spirit and in truth. We make ourselves available to bring the provision, O God, for the need that you have. You are the potter indeed, God, and we are the clay. You are the shepherd, and we are the sheep of your pasture. Father, the heavens are yours, and the throne, the earth is yours as well. Father, you rule and reign in every dimension. Have your way. Father, we make ourselves available as we have said. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us in our prayer, that our prayer may be effective. Let this not be a wasted hour, but let this be a productive hour where mountains are going to be moved, valleys are going to be lifted, chains are going to be broken, the captivity is going to be released, and the captives are going to be set free. Mindsets are going to be transformed and changed for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. If you are here tonight, just say hallelujah, so I know that you are here and you are praying with us. Just lift up your voice to the heaven and just say hallelujah. God, move as only you know how. And tonight I felt impressed just to pray for one specific area of life. I hope you guys do not mind the thing that I felt compelled to pray for tonight. I want to pray for your finances tonight. That's where I feel that the Holy Spirit is leading me tonight, to pray for your financial breakthrough in your life, for the heavens to be open over your life, for you to see supernatural provision coming into your life, for that need that you have financially to be met, for God to show himself mighty in that sphere of your life. But as I was contemplating on those things, I wrote some things that I felt we need to pray for tonight. One, we want to pray for God to sustain and open heaven over us. For God to sustain and open heaven over us. That's number one. Number two, for God to give us a heart that is giving. A heart that is giving. There's a heart that is giving, not just to give in terms of financially, but a heart that is willing to operate according to Romans 12, where the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Because if God has your body, God has your life, and God has your heart, it is easy for you to give. The other thing that I feel we need to pray for is to pray for us to be obedient to the laws of God. To be obedient to the laws of God. Because if we obey the commandments of God, we walk according to his instructions, according to his declarations, according to his decrees, things are going to change in our lives. When we are in divine alignment with God, He makes available the resources that are required to carry out the kingdom agenda. And because God has made us, has set us as stewards that are faithful, there's going to be a reward for our faithfulness. And just for God to bring us also into a place of alignment with the reasons why we give. We give not because we want something from God. I know the Bible says it is blessed to more blessed to give than it is to receive. But if your giving has an agenda attached to it, it mitigates the authority and the power that your gift has because you are attaching strings to it. But God just wants you to be a cheerful giver, giving because you love God. And then we also want to pray that when God entrusts us with riches, when God entrusts us with His prosperity, with His wealth, that we are correctly positioned to be blessings to the kingdom and blessings to the agenda and the work that God has for the earth. And two more things that I feel we need to pray for is for God to move us from a place of being consumers, but into a place of being producers, into a place where God makes us sowers in the kingdom, where we are not just sowing in terms of money, but we are sowing vision, we are sowing revelation, all the different things that we are going to be required to do to help sustain and push forward the agenda of the kingdom of God. And the final thing was just to pray for our hearts to be in alignment with God. And I strongly believe that those dynamics are going to shift areas in your life. I know that we can just say, God, bless us financially, but unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. God has to bring us into a right standing. We don't want to be like the unfaithful steward who hid his talent in the ground and not be able to use it in the marketplace to multiply what God had given him. Somebody say hallelujah just for that. So Father, tonight we just thank you for being the God of the heavens, for being the God who has the key to open heaven over us. Not only the key to open it, oh God, but to sustain and open heaven over our lives. The heavens are open because we are obedient. The heavens are open because we are in alignment with your word. We are in alignment with your will. Father, within ourselves, we are not able to bring ourselves into alignment. We are not aware of your will, your design, and your desire. But you have made provision by giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Therefore, Holy Spirit, we need you tonight, not only for tonight, but for all our days. Lead us into the truth of God, that we may remain under an open heaven, that our lives may be measurable and countable to the things that God is doing in the earth. Let our hearts seek God with everything that we have. Genuinely, let genuineness be the hallmark of our heart and our desire. Not because we want anything from God, but we have found Him worthy to give our all to Him. Our hearts, O God, receive. Our efforts, O God, receive. Our attention, O God, receive. Our worship, O God, receive. Our praises, O God, receive. Because you are worthy of it all. We lay down our lives, O God, for your sake and for your agenda, for your purpose, O God, and for your design. Father, where we have thought ourselves greater and mightier than we ought to be, we are asking, O God, for your Spirit to come, to bring us, O God, into a place of alignment through repentance and the asking of forgiveness, where we have made insignificant things significant. God, you are the one who's able to chastise us and bring us into a place of right standing with you. Within ourselves, O God, we cannot craft a righteousness that allows us to come before you even to make our prayer. But God, you made provision. The word says you loved us so much you gave your only begotten Son, so that, O God, we may be reconciled with you. and brought into alignment. But God, you have required, oh God, a response from us for all the things that you are doing and the things that you have done. Our response, oh God, tonight for all that you have done is thank you. Our response, oh God, to your wooing and your calling, we say yes, oh God. We make ourselves available for your employ. We make ourselves available, God, for your use. Holy Spirit, if there be any sin in us, bring it to light that we may be able to repent it before God. Let those things be not hindrances in our lives for what God wants to do in us and through us. Father, you said by the prophet Ezekiel that you will take a heart of stone from us, O God, and you'll give us a heart of flesh that we might be able to obey your commandment and walk to your into your statutes. We say, God, tonight let there be an open heart surgery that takes place as we pray. Hearts that are disobedient and indifferent to your things and your ways, let them be taken away, O God. Let that heart of flesh, O God, be bestowed in us, O God, that we may be faithful stewards, worthy to be called sons of the Most High God, because we walk in obedience to your judgments, we walk in obedience to your statutes, we walk in obedience to your commandments. We give you praise and we give you glory, that you are the only one who is able to transform our hearts, to change us. You are the one who is able to cleanse the seat of our conscience. You are the one who is able to make us anew, not by might, nor by power, but God, by your Spirit. Father, our desire is to be vessels and instruments you can use for your glory. That is our cry and our desire. But God, we cannot achieve those things with hearts that are selfish, that are self-seeking, and that are pursuing personal agendas. Therefore, God, give us hearts that are generous. Give us hearts that are gracious towards you. Hearts, oh God, that fear you. Hearts that reverence you. Hearts that worship you. Oh God, whatever you require of us, oh God, we will not withhold, because you have made us generous givers. You have given us hearts, oh God, that are able to give because we rejoice in giving. Father, there is somebody here tonight upon whom you are bestowing the gift of giving. Father, let it be pronounced. Let it be made manifest in their lives. Because, oh God, you have given them a heart of generosity. Resources are going to come into their lives, oh God, to be able to distribute, oh God, as your Spirit leads and as your Spirit guides. Somebody say hallelujah. If you are the one that God is bestowing a heart of generosity for the purposes of his kingdom, because God is bestowing that heart cannot function without the resources to be able to delegate or to appropriate. Therefore, I pray that God begins to work in you to give you the capacity to be able to manage what he is going to bring into your life. The ability to be able to manage the resources at the level and the dimension that God is going to bring into your life. You will not be overwhelmed by what God is going to bring, because God is working a work of transformation in your heart. That you will not be given to worship what God is giving you, because you understand that he is the maker of the heavens and the earth. The earth belongs to him. The silver and the gold belong to God. Therefore, you will not be an affront to God to bow down and worship idols that you have made from the things that God has given you. But you will walk with the understanding that all praise, all glory, all honor, all worship, and all reverence belongs to God. You will not be enticed by the things of the world to be like the children of Israel in the wilderness, who put together their resources to build a calf and declare that it is the one that has brought them out of Egypt. You will not forget, as Moses instructed the children of Israel, when you have entered into your promised land and you have built houses, you have received houses, and you have amassed all this wealth, don't forget that it is God who gives the power to get wealth. Riches are going to come into your life because they are attached to a purpose that God has. You will not bow down and worship the riches because your heart will always be walking in reverence to God. Somebody say hallelujah. God will begin to enlarge your capacity because God is about to enlarge your capacity. I want to pray for God to give you the spirit and the willingness to learn, the willingness to learn, because you are going to begin learning the way that God does things. You are going to begin learning how to move in the way that God moves. You are going to be able to start learning to manage in the ways that God expects his resources to be managed. Somebody just say, I am a manager. I am a manager of the resources of God. You are going to be an administrative force in the kingdom of God because he is bringing prosperity into your lives. He is bringing prosperity into your life. You will not make wealth the resource, the source of your life. But you will know and you will realize and acknowledge that your prosperity and your wealth is just a resource that God has given you to achieve and accomplish his purpose and assignment in the earth for you. That you are going to know the difference between the source and the resource, as I've said. You are going to be able to search, perceive, understand, and walk in accordance with the purpose that wealth is being given into your life. Somebody say hallelujah. So I pray for God to give you knowledge, to give you knowledge that it is he who gives the power to get wealth. Just receive the knowledge that God gives you the power to get wealth. This is not just to say, God, I know, but you do. But to get into a place in your heart where there is a posture that everything that you have, you are just a custodian of, because it belongs to God. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And because what God is about to release into your life, not only are you going to receive the knowledge and the acknowledgement that God is the one who gives the power to get wealth. Let me just backtrack on that. Because God gives the power to get wealth. You are going to be a worshiper to God, not because you are looking for the power to get wealth. Anybody hear me? You are going to be a worshiper because you know that God is looking for those that worship in spirit and in truth. You are going to walk in accordance with the Solomonic standard that you ask God for the thing of a higher order, knowing that if you attain the thing of a higher order, that which is underneath will come your way. Solomon understood, maybe by divine revelation or divine accident, that the greatest thing that he needed was wisdom. And when Solomon asked God for wisdom, God granted him wisdom. And when God granted him wisdom, according to the book of Revelation, wisdom says, riches are with me. Riches are with me. And we know that the Apostle James gives us instruction that if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give liberally. God will give without measure. May God give you the humbleness and the humility to be able to bow down and ask God for worship, for wisdom, to ask God for wisdom. When you do not know, you ask God for wisdom. When you think you know, you ask God for wisdom. When you know that you know, you ask God for wisdom, because you can never exhaust the dimensions of the wisdom of God. May you be a seeker of the wisdom of God. May you be a seeker of the knowledge of God in everything that you do. But understand this, Man within himself can never accomplish the level of seeking which is required for you to find God. But God meets you all the way. He has brought provision of the Spirit to lead you, to prompt you. So I pray that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you walk in obedience to the instruction of the Holy Spirit, as He will bring you into that place where you know, I ought to seek the wisdom of God in every situation, in every matter. Because our tendency at times is to only look for wisdom when we are stuck, is to ask God when we can no longer do it on our own. But I pray that you are going to be in a place where you ask God for wisdom before you have even begun. You ask God to lead you and guide you in every season, to lead you and guide you in every situation before that God will take you. So you ask for wisdom. You ask for wisdom because wisdom is with God. May God give you the insight and the ability to ask God for wisdom in your decision-making processes, because your decisions are going to affect the levels of resources that are going to come into your life. Great wisdom, great resources. Little wisdom, little resources. There is going to be a tangible manifestation of the works of wisdom in your life. Sound judgments are coming. Somebody say hallelujah for sound judgments that are coming into your life. When I basically say self, when I speak about such judgments, I'm more speaking about being operating in a judicial function, but I'm speaking of making measured decisions, measured actions that are going to produce the desirable results. So you pray for God to give you wisdom, because wisdom is with Him. He is wisdom. You are going to ask for God to discipline you. Somebody say, God, discipline me. God, discipline me tonight. Discipline me. Discipline me in my emotions. Discipline me, O God, in my perception. Discipline me, O God, in my desires. Discipline me, O God, in my tendencies. Somebody say hallelujah, because it's changing. You are being moved from being a consumer who is moved by your emotions, because now you are being pushed into the dimension of wisdom, where you are able to separate your emotions from the decisions that have to be made. I declare over you, the quality of decision making in your life is changing, is changing for the better, because God is moving. May God discipline you in managing resources. May God discipline you in managing resources. God, I thank you for that Spirit which is coming to discipline your children, that they are not going to be spending what they do not have. They are not going to be borrowing to buy what they do not need. I pray that, oh God, tonight in the name of Jesus, wisdom, wisdom is coming. James said, if we lack wisdom, we ask God and you will give us wisdom. We acknowledge, oh God, we are short on wisdom. We are not acquainted with the ways of wisdom. But God, you are wisdom. You are acquainted with the ways of wisdom. You operate in the ways of wisdom. You are calling us higher when you say, come, let us reason together. God, let our minds engage with the wisdom from up on high. Let the Spirit of wisdom come and dwell. Somebody say hallelujah. Because you see, there are different manifestations of the Spirit of wisdom. Some are given the Spirit of wisdom in all manner of workmanship. They're able to work with their hands. Some are given wisdom to be able to make decisions, to manage at a management level. Some are given wisdom to do witty inventions. There are different dimensions of wisdom. But the Bible says wisdom is a spirit. May the wisdom of God God come over you right now in the name of Jesus, in the dimension that God has apportioned you, whether you are going to be working in creative works, may the wisdom of God come. The wisdom of God that's going to bring favor, the wisdom of God that's going to bring excellence, the wisdom of God that is going to exalt you in the place where you are. That's the wisdom that is coming. Whether you are being given wisdom to manage at a management level, I pray for the wisdom of God to come, because wisdom is going to be measured. Your level of wisdom is going to be measured by the quality of your outcome, the quality of your work, the quality of your ethical standards. It's going to be a testimony of the wisdom that is coming upon your life. You are not going to be indisciplined in managing your time. You are going to be able to manage your time effectively. You are not going to be doing shoddy work, but you are going to be operating at a high level of excellence, because the wisdom of God is coming over you. When you sell your things, they are not going to be brought back, because there is such a high level of workmanship that has gone into it. You are going to be careful in everything that you do, that you are going to show forth the glory and the excellence of the God who's leading you, the God whose wisdom has now become a part of your life. So wisdom to be disciplined in managing your resources, that you are not going to be making your resources gods, as I've said. You are not going to make your work gods. You are not going to make your creative abilities God. You are not going to make your decision-making capacity God, but you are going to have God remain enthroned in every sphere of your life. That means you are going to bow down. You are going to carve out time to develop and grow your relationship with God as He is prospering you. You are never, ever going to forget that it is God who has given you the power to get wealth. The reason why you are most likely going to forget that God has given you the power to get wealth is when you have received the wealth and you forget that the wealth is not your God. But God was the causation factor, was the causal factor for you to receive what you have. And you have to acknowledge tonight before God that you are not going to build an altar to the resources that God is giving you. You will not go, that means when I say an altar, you know, by general definition, an altar is a place where sacrifices are offered. You are not going to offer your life on altars of gold. You are not going to offer your life on altars of your business. You are not going to offer your life as a sacrifice over the things that God has given you, but you are going to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, to God and to God alone. That means you have to be deliberate in engaging with God, even when you have attained what God is giving you. I know I'm saying this because God is thrusting somebody into a dimension of prosperity you have only dreamed off. If you can just grab a hold of the things that God is speaking to you tonight, your life is going to be different. Your life is going to be different. Even when you wake up in the morning, when the morning hour comes today, you are going to have a different sense of urgency. You are going to have a different desire for excellence because of what God is about to do in your life. Notice, I haven't spoken about God increasing your denominations in terms of finances, because God is fixing the foundation tonight. He's fixing the foundation tonight because what He is determined to come into your life is coming into your life. And I asked, oh God, as I was writing this, I said, God, may you teach your people the systems of the kingdom of God. teach them the systems of the kingdom of God. Because sometimes we are guilty of being familiar with the systems of the kingdom of God to the depth of only knowing them by name or being able to identify them. But God wants to teach us to the level of application, to the level of immersion and application. That's a good term to use, the level of immersion and application. Immersion and application, that means God does not want you to be an outsider looking in. God wants you to be flowing with the current that is in the systems of the kingdom that are going to bring prosperity into your life. You are going to be able to appropriate resources in the ways of the kingdom. You are going to be able to manage resources in the ways of the kingdom. But for that to happen, you have to be like Moses to get into a place where you say, God, show me your ways. Show me your ways that I might know you, that I might find favor. God, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your ways that I might know you, that I might find favor in you. May God now, may your heart be a heart that is seeking God, because the only way you're going to get familiar with the ways of God is to walk with God. God will teach you his ways as you are walking with him. You see, many of us fail to understand that when God was walking with Adam in the garden, they were not just having a conversation, but God was revealing himself to Adam in ways that have not been fully explained to us. They were having a conversation. God was showing Adam his ways. There has always been God's desire. It's always been God's desire for not only man to know the ways of God, but for man to be able to operate, walk, and function in the ways of God. So God is going to teach you how to walk in his ways. God has ways that bring multiplicity. God has ways that bring increase. Somebody say hallelujah. He has ways. Sometimes our minds are not able to comprehend the ways of God because they operate above and beyond human limitations. And that's one of the things I also want to address in my prayer to you tonight, or my prayer for you tonight. I want to pray for God to break your limitations. Some of those limitations are self-imposed limitations, not because we are human. I know it's human nature, and our humanness has placed limitations on us because of the disobedience of our forefather Adam. But I want to let you know that there are some limitations we have imposed on ourselves because we have agreed with the enemy that we are not able to operate at the level that God is calling us into. We have bought into the lie that we are meant to be above, we are meant to be below and not above. We are meant to be borrowers and not lenders. But God is saying, no, that's not how I designed you. That's not how I accustomed you. So may God break every self-imposed limitation on your life. I know that some of the things that I wrote as the limitations some of you have had on your life. You have limitations in terms of heritage, where you are coming from. God, there was nobody to teach me. There was nobody to instruct me. There was nobody to role model this thing before me. And God is saying, I need you to change your gaze. I need to change where you are setting your sight on. You are looking at the examples of men, yet I'm calling you to look upon me. I am your instructor. I am your teacher. I am your role model. So God is saying that limitation is being broken. Some of you have imposed a limitation on your life where you were saying, God, I have not known anybody who has that level of experience or who is able to instruct me at that level. I am inexperienced. And God is saying, if everything in life was to be learned by experience, there will be no need for revelation. But experience proceeds from a place of revelation. And God is is saying, don't use your inexperience as an excuse, because I am moving you from a realm of experience into a realm of revelation, because from revelation, experience will come forth. So we break the idea of your heritage. We break the idea of saying, God, I lack the experience, because God is moving you into a dimension of revelation. Then there's somebody here tonight. Your limitation is a limited vision or a lack thereof. A lack of vision, a limited vision, one limited vision. The reason why your vision is limited is because the genesis of your vision is you. That is why it is limited. But God is saying, I need you to buy into my vision. Ask me for the vision that I have for your life, because the vision that you have, that has its genesis in you, has been established, birthed from a place where it has been limited by the source. It has been limited by your experience. It has been limited by your heritage. It has been limited by your level of knowledge. That's where it's coming from, because your knowledge says people of your race, people of your gender, people of your economic status or status cannot attain these things. Therefore, you adjust your vision within the limitations and the context of your limitations. But tonight I pray, as Jabez prayed unto God, enlarge my territory. May God enlarge your vision. May God allow you to see beyond your limited vision, that you might be able to see that which is above and beyond. Yes, you bought into the lie that you were never, you were designed never to amount to anything. But I'm here to tell you by revelation and by the Spirit of God, you were meant to do so much more. Greater things are meant to be done in you and through you. Listen, you are not designed to do limited works. You were designed to do greater works. Enlarge your vision. Enlarge your vision. But then again, when I say enlarge your vision, it seems as if I'm placing the responsibility on you to enlarge your vision, but it will still be bound by the limitations that exist in you. So now we change and we alter the prayer. May God enlarge your vision. 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 I'm going to say it one more time until you believe it in your spirit. May God enlarge your vision. Because sometimes when God begins to enlarge your vision, God has to take you into a place that is beyond your limitations. God has to take you into a dimension that is above and beyond your experience. Because listen, your experience that you have now was a new thing, yesterday before you gained the experience. And God is about to launch you into a new dimension where you are going to see things in a different light. May God adjust your vision. I don't want God to give you 20/20 vision, but I want God to give you prophetic vision where you can see above and beyond the time constraints, the physical limitations, the physical dimensions of the world we exist in, for you to be able to see the reality of things that are not yet created, for you to be able to see the reality of visions that haven't been dreamt yet, for you to be able to see creative things that haven't been made yet, for you to see witty inventions, or hallelujah, witty inventions for whose underlying inventions have not been made yet. May God make you custodians of revelations of the future. May God position you as investors for things that are not yet made, things that are not yet in the purview of man, but God is going to make you custodians. God, oh, God is about to move you And to listen, I know. Can I just go a little bit deeper with what I feel in my spirit? May God begin to alter your dreams. May God begin to change your dreams tonight, because your dreams have been limited by the experience, by the role models you have heard, you have had before you. But God is about to change your vision in your dreams. Understand that in the dimension of dreams, there are no physical limitations. In the dimension of dreams, there are no limitations as to what you can do, as to what you can accomplish, as to what you can achieve. In the realm of dreams, you are able to fly. In the realms of dreams, you are able to run faster than the fastest chariots of Israel. In the realms of dreams, you are able to go to the moon and back within a nanosecond. In the realm of dreams, you are able to think beyond the dimension that Albert Einstein was exposed to. You are able to go beyond the dimensions of human limitations. Therefore, God is going to begin engaging you in your dreams, because you have asked for Him to enlarge your vision, your capacity to see. And the next thing that I want to do is I want to pray for God to begin changing this limitation that you have, the limitation of resources. The reason why your resources are limited is because you are confined to the realm of your experience, the realm of your relationships, the realm of your education. Therefore, you don't have the means to be able to bring resources to your life. But I want to let you know that the Bible says there are angels who have been set out as ministers unto the heirs of salvation. You are an heir of salvation. There are angels that have been sent into your life. Now, can I just go a little bit deeper and sidestep your theology? Because some of us only understand angelic beings as beings that have been set just to bring divine protection. But can I just let you know, if you search in the book of Daniel, I know that there were angels that were sent for divine protection. I know when he was in the lion's den. I know that there were angels set to watch over and protect him. But there are angels that are sent to bring resources, because there was an angel that was sent from God the moment Daniel decided to pray, to come and give Daniel an answer as to what he was asking for. So angels are going to be operating above and beyond the duty of divine protection, but they are going to gather, anybody hear me? They're going to gather the resources that you need in your life. I know within your educational realm, within your experience, within what you have, you cannot amass what is required. Even if you could amass it, you could not do it within the time, but it is required to be in place. But there is angelic activity. There is Holy Spirit pneuma power that is going to be able to facilitate the conglomeration, the gathering of resources in your life, for you to be able to sustain the vision, to bring it to pass what God is showing you. Hallelujah. May God begin to engage with you. Angels being sent forth to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south, to gather what is required in your life, because God is about to change your financial position. He's about to change your financial position. Now, I'm going to pray for a few more things, and I know that it is got to be a bit of a teaching, but I want to pray for God to enlarge your capacity. For God to enlarge your capacity. When I'm saying God to enlarge your capacity, I'm speaking about God enlarging your capacity to be able to give. To be able to give. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me just make this disclaimer, just in case somebody is not at ease. I am not taking up an offering. Hallelujah. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not asking you to give anything. But I'm just asking for God to be able to give you the capacity to be able to give. Because what's going to happen is, when God begins to bring these things into your life, you are going to be you are going to be used by God as a resource. I want to say again, you're going to be used by God as a resource. You're going to be used by God as a funnel. You're going to be used by God as a channel, which means a custodian holds. And when the owner wants it, the custodian has to be able to release it. So God has to be able to give you the capacity to give. And then God also has to be able to increase your capacity for you to be able to receive. To be able to give and to be able to receive. That means now you are not going to be the one who is going to deny other people the opportunity to be a blessing into your life. They're going to be a blessing into your life because they are being used by God as resources to bring resources into your life, if that makes sense. Now, the other thing is, I pray for God to give you the capacity to be able to discern and identify good ground. To be able to discern and identify good ground. Because you are going to be given resources as a sower, not as an eater. The Bible says he gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. When I say God's going to use you in the capacity of giving, you are going to be positioned as a sower and not as a bread eater. And as a sower, you are not just going to be throwing your seed everywhere. You are going to be able to need to be able to discern what is good ground that you can sow your resources into. Now, if I say that again without making this clarification, I might just constrain that and confine that to the limitations you've imposed upon yourselves, because sometimes we qualify ground as good ground based on our emotional inclinations. But I'm praying that by now you understand where I'm coming from, that all those things, the ability to give, the ability to receive, the ability to be able to identify what good ground is, it is going to be strictly under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That means your heart is going to be walking in obedience. Remember, he has taken the heart of stone out of you and given you the heart of flesh, that you may walk in obedience to his commandments, to his decrees, to his statutes, and to his judgment. Now that heart cannot be operated according to your carnality. It has to be functioning according to the dictates and the mandates of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible says, my sheep, they know my voice and they hear my voice. That means you are going to be operating according to the instruction. I like what Jesus said, I do not do anything that I want, but I only do that which I see my Father do. I say that which I hear my Father say. That means Jesus was a man who was in total divine alignment with God. I do what you do, which means I do what you are instructing me to do. I say what you are instructing me to say. Therefore, I say to you, because God is enlarging your capacity to hear, your capacity to give, your capacity to receive, the ability to discern what good ground is, you are going to be so in tune with the Spirit of God. You are going to hear his promptings. You are going to be obedient to his promptings. As you do that, things are going to change. And here are a few more things that I have for you. God has to enlarge your capacity to be ethical, your capacity to be ethical, to walk and operate in integrity. To walk and operate in integrity, because what God is about to place on your life requires a level of ethicity, a level of ethics required. You have to operate in integrity. That means you are not going to take shortcuts to multiply what God is putting into your hands. You are going to work the systems of the kingdom of God, because that's where multiplicity is going to come. That's where your enlargement is going to flow. And as you begin to do this, remember I said again, I'm praying for God to work a work in your finances and open heaven. a giving heart coming over you. You are going to be obedient to the ways of God. You are going to be generous in your heart. You are going to give, not because you want anything from God, but because you love God. You want to be a blessing to the kingdom. You want to see an increase in the works of God in the earth. You want to be a sower in the kingdom of God, and you are aligning your heart with the will of God. And finally, this is what I have for you as instruction tonight. Never, ever forget the goodness of God in your prosperity. Never, ever forget the goodness of God in your prosperity. That means no matter how rich you become, always remember He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator. He is the owner. He is the provider. He is the ruler. He is the authority. He is the power. And He holds everything by the word of His power. Even your wealth, He holds it together by the word of His power. Even your very life, He holds it together by the word of His power. Even the breath in your lungs, He holds it together in place by the word of His power. Even the relationships that are going to come into your life, He holds them together by the word of His power. And like Moses said, the children of Israel, I'm going to say to you, because I believe there is a financial breakthrough that is being released into your life. And I'm going to say this word that you never, ever forget. Don't you ever forget the goodness of God, that it is God who has given you the power to get wealth. It is God. Listen, the way that I've said, I didn't say God will. I said God has given you the power. God has given you the power. He has given you the power. He has given you the power. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Because it's coming into your life. Prosperity, financial breakthroughs are being released. Father, I thank you for the financial breakthroughs. I thank you, God, for bills. I thank you for bills that are fully paid for. I thank you, God, for debts that are not just canceled, but that are fully paid for. I thank you, God, for making them lenders and not borrowers. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And I praise you for making them producers and not consumers. I thank you for making them, God, business owners, not just employees. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that God, they may have been begging for a $5 not just to buy bread, but God, today I declare the days of begging are over. God, now they are lenders. They are ones who are able to direct kingdom economies, world economies, because the wisdom of God dwells upon them. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise, God, and I give you glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the hearts of generosity that you are placing upon them, hearts of obedience that you are placing upon them. God, I give you praise. I give you glory for the transformative power that is operating right now, changing their minds, changing their outlook, breaking the limitations self-imposed, limitations imposed by their environment, limitations imposed by their genealogy, limitations imposed by their history. You are breaking all that in the name of Jesus. And can I just tell somebody, this is just my prophetic moment. I say, God, break the mold that has been used to fashion people in their lives. Break the mold. Break the mold. Break the mold. Listen, can I just be daring to say somebody, you are going to be the prototype of something new. You are going to be the prototype of something new. Something new. Listen, something like you or someone like you has never been in this bloodline. Has never been in this bloodline. Or can I just say this? If yesterday sees you tomorrow, if yesterday sees you tomorrow, all your troubles that were in yesterday are going to run away. Because there are some things, there were some things that have been troubling you because you lacked wisdom. And God has given you wisdom. He's given you wisdom. Listen, here's the thing about the kingdom of God, and I'm done. You see, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We walk by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith, or the just shall live by his faith, depending which translation you're using. But what I want to let you know is this. When God does a thing like he has done this evening, what he has done this evening, many of us will leave this place. I don't want you to be one of those, but I'm going to say it. Many of us will leave this place and say that was a good word and never put action to it. Because there's no appropriation to it. There's no result that is coming. Now, how are you going to appropriate this word? I told you my disclaimer. I am not taking an offering. You hear me? I'm not taking an offering. How do you appropriate what I've just said? Can I give you the answer how to appropriate it? Confess what we have prayed and believe that God will manifest it.